This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Things could get real spicy here throughout this game as Doncic rips another one and immediately turns to the Mavericks bench.
And part one of the revenge is now in the books. Good morning, Metroplex. It's the hump day edition of Sean and RJ featuring Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Pepe running things live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And hopefully you are fine off of the lack of sleep if you stayed up to watch Luka Doncic record his triple-double and the L.A. Lakers taking care of the Dallas Mavericks in L.A.
You know, I saw some salty Mavs stands who are just like, oh, glad he's gone. I'm not going to roof. You know, not I'm glad he's gone, but the it's over. You know, the Mavs. I'm a Mavs fan. Like, screw Luka. Calling that a soft triple double.
Oh, I could not disagree more.
You guys are just losers, man. That was not a soft. That was, I mean, he was in complete control of that basketball game.
I had a couple people the other night when I was tweeting. I assume everyone wasn't watching on a late Saturday night, Denver, L.A., like me as a loser. And I was like 19-5-5 at half, and I had like two or three of the whiners say, what are you just going to update him every single day? Like, so what? Like, yeah, I can look at a box score. Yeah, I'm going to update everything he does for the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't like it, unfollow, or I can take care of it for you. But, Bobby, you agree with Luka in control despite not having the 50-point vengeance.
Yeah, he didn't have the shooting night that he wanted. But, I mean, I thought he played great. Like, I mean, the fact that he was not turning the ball over, he was distributing the ball. I felt like in the first half we saw seven cross-court passes that ended up in wide-open threes that the Lakers were knocking down.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I mean, clearly their focus was we're going to triple-team Luka. Jason Kidd essentially talked about that coming out of halftime, but they were going to triple-team Luka, and he just went, okay, all right, if you're going to give me open shots everywhere else, I'll distribute the basketball. And because your tallest player on the court right now is about as tall as Peyton, I'm just going to collect 30 rebounds in this game. But I thought he was... defensively, I thought he was pretty good for most of the night. He was distributing the ball. He was rebounding. And, yeah, the shots weren't going down. But I felt like once they took that three off the board in the first quarter, I felt that kind of broke his rhythm.
Yeah, why did they take that three off?
He had about a half an inch of his heel on review that tapped the baseline. And so they said he was out.
Because when we went to that break and I updated the points scored, I'm like, he's got 10. He's on pace for 40, and then all of a sudden kind of zap back to 7.
Yeah, it was they took the three off the board. When he had that double-teamed three, the first one that he knocked down, the big rainbow three, they set his heel, which I was a little bit like, come on, leave it on the board. Just leave it on there. That was impressive, yeah.
The Lakers were up 16. He got cut to 8 at half thanks to Max Christie and Kyrie's 18. Kyrie balled out. I love that from Kyrie. He's like, you know what? This is a showcase game, and I'm going to remind everyone of who I am. He was spectacular. And then it got down to 3 in the third quarter. Klay Thompson doing his part in the fourth, but I don't know, unfortunately or not. That leads to my next question. LeBron matching Klay. I found myself rooting for the Mavericks to win this game. Back to my poll question. Do you want Luka 50, Lakers win. Luka 50, Mavs win. Luka shut down. Kevin Hagelin voted for that. You're not going to watch like Mike Bacsik. I found myself deciding within the game, Luka 50, but I was rooting for a Mavericks win. I don't know whether I was finding myself caught in the comeback because I wanted it to be a closer game for drama in the fourth quarter. But a lot of times with these games, I can't decide what I want until my emotions take over in the moment. But I was rooting for the Mavericks to actually get the W.
No. Screw them. Screw them. Because, you know, cheering for the Mavs is cheering for Nico. Can't separate the
two. Yeah, you can. I think you can separate.
Cheering for Dumont.
Can't you separate cheering for Luka but not cheering for the Lakers?
You can't separate them, no. Uh-huh. I don't know.
I disagree.
I don't know. Can you? I mean,
you can cheer for Luka to perform well in individual. You can't cheer for Luka's overall success without cheering for the Lakers, though. But like in terms of if you want to see Luka win a championship, you're cheering for the Lakers to win a title.
Well, if you want to see him win a championship, right, that's what I said, or do you just want to see him ball out?
Yeah, like that's what I say. In an individual game, yeah, you can cheer for Luka. I want you to get all yours. And then it's like, even though people didn't have, you know, it's like back in the 90s, you probably rooted for your basketball team, but you wanted to see Jordan score 60 on you almost. Like you did want to see Jordan put on a show.
Yeah.
But you wanted to win. I don't think that's the case on this one. I think people are so mad at the Mavericks and so mad at their defiance towards the fan base that they start going about, okay, if you don't care about me, I want you to hurt too. I want you to feel bad.
It's like, yes, you can. Let me amend my statement. It's too soon to separate the two. It's too soon. Cheering for the Mavs last night was cheering for Nico and the trade. And it's just too soon for me.
Luka on playing with the emotions against his former team.
Like I say, you know, it's a weird game, different game. But I can't even explain what kind of emotions were. I have just a lot of emotions, you know, seeing the guys out there, seeing the guys I played. I went through a lot with the guys, so it was fun.
All right, let's count the stare downs. We got the one early on. It was definitely towards the Mavs bench. I couldn't tell whether then he was looking for Nico underneath the basket as Nico was trying to sit in a back corner, but it did feel like there was some venom directed towards Jason Kidd, who said he had not spoken to Luka since, I believe, exchanging texts. I even thought that was a victory for Kidd. I was like, okay, let me read into this. Let me be guilty of sports talk here.
Because he didn't reply to Nico. Right. Nico said he tried to reach him, and he did not reply to him at once. So if he replied to Kidd and they actually exchanged texts, that's probably better footing than Nico.
Yeah, I'm guessing that from reading that, it felt like they exchanged texts, but no communication since then. But there was a stare down. There was a stare down towards the Mavs bench, and Luka said he did not notice Nico during the halftime warmups when Nico was just kind of leaning against the scorer's table with two Mavs fans holding up a sign that says loyalty never fades, and they crossed out the never.
Right, never. Loyalty does fade, absolutely.
And the little thank you Nico chant that broke out from a ton of Mavs. Arash Markazi, longtime LA reporter, said, I have not seen this many Dallas media members in California since the Jerry Malibu party. I mean, Donnie was out there. Jeff Cole was out there. Joe Trahan was out there. A lot of the Mavs, Tim McMahon followers were out there, as Tim would label them.
Yeah.
Everyone was there from the Metroplex.
Yeah, so that was the stare down. Was that directed at the bench or just 10 rows back?
No idea.
Yeah, I think I looked at it and I was like, I didn't feel like it was laser focused on Kidd. I felt like it was just in general, like him looking over like, y'all wanted this, like just in general towards Dallas. And like, this is what you get.
The hilarious thing was like the side eye shots where you catch your Zuckerberg shots where Jason Kidd's on the bench and his eyes are wandering to the right towards Luka. It looked like Nico was kind of watching Luka warm up as he dropped down and did the push-ups. There were a couple perfect shots last night, still photos. They're taken out of context.
Sure.
But Luka was not dropping down to show Nico he was in great physical shape. He lost his half-court three-point competition. There's the painted-esque photo of Luka looking up into the stands. That could be AI-generated. I don't care. I posted it.
It's still cool.
And then as Tolo Mike sent me this morning, there's the Luka Devin Harris look-up. with Nico as Devin Harris. So
Devin Booker. Awesome. Yeah.
Devin Booker.
Devin Booker. I'm sorry,
but no, he was. I mean, that was last night. The in general, the whole you mentioned the push up one where it's just this. It is a wild shot to see of Luka down on doing a push up, and then you just see Nico off in the distance just staring. And I don't believe Luka that he didn't see Nico before the warmups. He absolutely saw him out there.
Didn't appear to be any interaction.
Nope. No, there was space there. He didn't try to go crossover. I thought it was interesting how separated it looked like Pelinka and Nico were. I didn't see they were kept showing them as like separated. They didn't show any shots of them like catching up or anything. I wonder if Pelinka was just like, not the image I want to show my new star right now. I'll talk to Nico behind the scenes.
They only want to meet in coffee shops.
Well,
they could meet up in the free parking lot too. They could do that.
Were you guys hoping for more from Luka, or do you leave that feeling satisfied? I was hoping for a little bit more.
I mean, I wanted to see him shoot better.
Yeah,
you know, like the shot was off.
He threw up some bricks last night.
Oh, he had one that, like, I mean, I think it just hit the backboard. That's it. So yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of that was rust. There's still the growing pains of him getting to know all these players, especially guys. It's not so much getting to know LeBron or Austin Reeves, guys he plays, you know, 30 minutes a night with, but guys further down the bench who only get 6 to 12 minutes a game that he has to really kind of figure out.
Well, it shouldn't affect his shot to that
shouldn't
degree.
Affect his shot, no.
No, just
that could have been adrenaline, just pressing.
Adrenaline. Now, playing off the ball could affect his shot if he's just used to, all right, my comfort comes in creating my own shot and controlling the ball instead of catching and shooting. Like, I remember, I think the one that he shot that hit off the backboard was so clearly, that was like a move the ball around the perimeter he caught and shoot. And it does look weird when Luka just catches and shoots, but... Yeah, I wanted to see him shoot better, but, I mean, he played a great game, I thought, overall.
Jason Kidd with his Luka reaction after.
No, I thought he was, he picked his spots. He was able to find his teammates. He was Luka. He, you know, drove it, made plays, and then also finished. Probably had some looks that normally goes down for him, but he was, you know, he fills up the stat sheet like no other player. So I think he had a triple-double, and again, he can find his teammates, and his teammates deliver tonight.
One of the things I really loved about last night, and you can't say this too often about an NBA game, it felt like competitive juices were extremely high. It felt like, I'm going to match you, whether it's Kyrie, Najee Marshall telling LeBron, you're too small. You know, LeBron wanted to get Luka going. The back and forth. Jason Kidd mic'd up in the huddle at the end saying, and don't forget, if you get Luka, make him pay. Basically, go at him. That's what I gathered from it. If he's defending, go at him and take advantage. What are the Tolos saying early on?
877-881-1053, Franklin, injury attorneys, fan text. I'm just going to read them in order. I wanted to see Luka put up 77. Mavs don't care about us. Blank them and the owners until Nico are gone. Blank the Mavs, blank the Lakers, blank the NBA. I hope when Luka comes back to the AAC, the fans chant Dallas loves you. I wanted the Mavs to win, but I'm glad they didn't. Can't separate the two. I want Luka to ball out and leave the Lakers. Technically, right now, if you're cheering for the Mavericks to get a championship, Luka gets one, too. our favorite individual player now wears yellow. Our beloved team is still beloved. Still want the Mavs to not make the playoffs this year and for Nico to get fired. Mavs are dead to me.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, I know that's going to be the overwhelming sentiment. You will have those diehard, true blue bloods who say, my team is the Dallas Mavericks, and I have to and I will root for them no matter what.
We didn't have a great comparison for the Luka trade and the emotions that it caused. I was thinking about this last night, though. Watching the intensity of that game, it felt like LeBron's like games against Cleveland early when he went back to Miami or when he was in Miami. This trade is like if instead of LeBron leaving and causing all that emotion and that hatred when he returned, Cleveland would have just traded him to Miami. And then when he returned, it would have been the opposite, where it's just that same intensity, but it's on the opposite side. It's like the two polar ends of the emotion, but the same sort of obsession with that player. And they've just completely misread it. And when he comes back to the AAC, like I said, That game will feel as big to me as LeBron going back to Cleveland. It just won't have the same hatred behind it.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up with all your thoughts. Great text messages so far. PayPay is also monitoring them on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. We fly out to Indianapolis right after the show for our coverage at the NFL Combine. No radio station has ever covered Rangers spring training and the Combine at the same time. We're doing it in Indy. We got the KMC Masterpiece and the G-Bag Nation in Surprise, Arizona for your favorite baseball team. Yet another report as to why they got rid of number 77. See if you're buying this one or is it going to make you even more disgusted next on 105.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
In the corner, Doncic for three, partially blocked. And that's going to be a foul. Count that, and one as Doncic gets to the basket.
There's the call on TNT. I was tremendously disappointed when I saw the B team up there for Inside the NBA with Adam Lefkoe and Vince Carter and Shaquille O'Neal. You weren't getting Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith, just part of the presentation last night as Luka 1-0 against his former team with the win in L.A. This is Sean, RJ, and Bobby with the 6 a.m. Club on The Fan.
It's tough to work twice a week every week.
I know.
You know, I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that for 50 weeks.
Some of the fun memes and GIFs that took place last night. Someone went and made Luka a greened out silhouette with the Lakers logo over his face, making fun of the Mavs hype video. The Lakers unveiling one of the gold jerseys up top for the retirement that says Nico Harrison. They rolled that halfway up. They put Nico with a TV shot, and the caption was finesse by Rob Pelinka. And then, of course, we had the Jumpman promo that absolutely blew up, as it's supposed to be Luka changing the Texas license plates on one of his beloved sports cars to California 77 with "All My Exes Live in Texas" in the background.
That was a, like, whoever is the marketing, advertising guru genius behind that,
yep,
apply for employment in the PR firm of the Mavericks.
Yes.
That was brilliant.
You think some Jordan Brand marketing people know what they're doing? Maybe.
They might have an idea. They've been there a time or two. That was fantastic. And that one kind of felt, that hurt. That hurt a lot. I couldn't tell. That was AI.
I assume it was AI. The physical car that looked, was the parked car out looked AI. Outside crypto.com yeah. arena with the same license right. plate wasn't.
No, that wasn't. But I assume the commercial was AI. But
then they continue to bury the Mavericks yeah. with Luka Goodwill, as Luka, through Jumpman, bought a parking lot offering free parking to Laker fans by some sports bar. And yet Laker fans tweeting, "Thanks for the free parking, Luka." The man buys free parking for LA fans for the big game.
What a genius. And somebody, I saw one Lakers fan that was like, "You guys have to understand how big a gesture this is. He just used the entirety of the rest of his contract to buy this parking lot, because it is like $120 to park in this lot for each spot." And so he was... That
good gosh, I wonder how much that lot, like, I mean, can you imagine? You just buy a parking lot.
Whoever, I'm excited for. There have been so many different things that Jordan Brand's already done with social media posts and other things for Luka since he got traded.
By the way, the caption on that at the end, "Full tank, no mercy."
This is what they've opened up. I'm genuinely excited to see what they're going to do for Luka coming back to Dallas. They're going to have some sort of promo stuff that whole week, and it's going to be, because I would have never thought, that's a genius move. I don't know why no athletes ever thought of, like, my return, I'm buying up a parking lot. Like, that's, it's something you would never think about, but such a big gesture.
He probably didn't even do it.
No, I'm not saying him. I'm talking about Jordan Brand, yeah. that they're marketing folks, that they came up with that. It's brilliant.
There's a better chance that they raise the parking for that game than they offer free parking.
I did like the one meme of, I think I sent it to you guys, Mavs film room tweeted, they said Nico Harrison watching 77 warm up, and it was the image quote of Urban Meyer, and it says, "Who's this 99 guy on the Rams?"
All right, so those are all the funny or not so funny things taking place around the big time matchup. But before the game, we had a report from longtime NBA insider, friend of Chris Arnold, Mark Spears. And I was sitting there in the barbershop, and Bobby sent this over, and I got up to walk out. I got up to walk out because I'm like...
Out of the chair? She was in the middle of cutting your hair?
No, I was in the waiting.
Okay.
I was in the waiting area. If there's usually... I'm a haircut snob. Like, I hate getting my hair cut. So if there's two people, I leave.
Two people.
I'm not even going to wait. So there was one person, and I saw this, and I was like, screw this, I'm up, I'm out of here. I'll go to Indianapolis looking shaggy. But it was Mark Spears saying that the reason the Mavericks traded Luka Doncic is Jaylen Brown from the NBA Finals matchup against the Celtics. Quote, "What Jaylen Brown did to Luka in the finals, shutting him down, guarding him full court, making it unbearable offensively, led Dallas to questioning Luka as the leader of the team and questioning whether he was in shape or not."
You know what? He really did get shut down, man. Yeah, I mean, it was only 29 a game. I mean, you can't even average 30 a night in the finals.
29, 9, and 5.
It's terrible. I mean, you're not even averaging a double-double. Hey, you know what? You're a bum. You're a bum. We got to get you out of here. We got to keep the other guy who was even worse from a field goal percentage. Kyrie was 41% from the field, 28 from three. You know, at least Luka was 47 from the field. A little bit worse from three, 25%. Not great. But to say that's the reason, I mean, you're just not being honest with your fan base. It's evident right now. They are so panicked over there.
Scrambling.
They're scrambling for any report. We're just going to float all these kind of reports out there. Yep. Oh, you want this report? We'll give you this one. Oh, you want this? We'll give you this one. You're just not being honest. It had nothing to do with Jaylen Brown.
I genuinely don't. It makes me question everything about these last, what are we at now, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks? Everything about the last 3.5 weeks just makes me question their ability to run this organization. And it's exposed so many things about the way they operate that it makes me say, did you just have dumb luck for the first 2.5 years that something didn't blow up in your face?
The Mavericks are stupid.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, Brian Windhorst. That's the issue. I said this to you guys. I don't think I said it on the air, but I know I told you all in a text that imagine if Kyrie's tweet that got him in trouble in Brooklyn for that documentary that he tweeted out. Imagine if that happened here with this Dallas PR group, how they might have screwed that up. It is a complete gift that Kyrie Irving hasn't had any of the issues that he previously had in his group had happened here with this group, because there is no telling how bad they would have botched that and how much trouble they would have gotten in with the NBA for continuing to snowball an issue.
And this new group, I don't remember talking about Mavs PR in my previous 14 years here, no. But we should keep stressing, it is someone new, right?
Yeah.
Relatively new.
Yeah, like they've been there for a long time. Like, you know, like Sarah Melton was in charge of the PR for, you know, during a lot of the Dirk years.
Sarah Melton, Scott Tomlin, like they were.
And I don't think, I know Sarah's out there. I don't think Scott's there anymore.
No, Scott, I said the other day, is with Dirk's charity foundation.
Okay, so. Yeah, so it's, I don't know how long they've been, the people that are there have been have been leading the charge there, but man, it's just been a misstep after misstep, and it's like they're always chasing. You know, they never got out in front of it, they're chasing, and it's like, okay, we screwed this up, we didn't recognize the reaction, we didn't know it was going to be like this, so now we've got to keep throwing these crazy stories out there, or these rumors of, oh, this is why, oh, this is why, oh, this is why. The reality is that you're just trying to play catch up.
So we're not putting any weight into this whatsoever, right? I can't believe it. And if it is actually true, the Nico Harrison pursuit of a build your own character on NBA Live continues. Okay, so maybe arguably the best, most versatile perimeter defender in the NBA gave your superstar a hard time. And I gave Luka a hard time for being dramatic with all the injuries. He was clearly banged up. Yeah. All right, were some of these 29 points garbage time? Maybe. He did not play great in the finals whatsoever. He hung his team out there to dry. I would have believed it more if the report was Luka getting ejected or Luka not being there for his team, which launched the Brian Windhorst rant. Yeah. I would have bought that a lot more than this, struggling at times against a fantastic defender in Jaylen Brown. All right, so you have to find the person that Jaylen Brown can't stop in order to have that be the face of your franchise. That's asinine. That's actually unbelievable to me. I don't believe it. I think Mark Spears, he got fed something.
Maybe, but here's the only thing with Mark Spears. Mark Spears has generally been on top of a lot of Mavericks. He does have a Nico relationship. And he's generally been on top of a lot of different Mavericks inside. I don't remember him missing really on anything with the Mavs. And
I'm not saying he made it up.
No, right.
I'm saying he reported some of their BS.
Right, but I mean, yeah. The fact that they're even allowing that to be a narrative that they want to put out there again shows just how stupid they are if that's what they're doing. I mean, there was so.
Because now every single matchup they face Boston, I'm going to track the guy that Jaylen is scoring and see what their field goal percentage ends up being. And again, it's. Provides no answer to Kyrie being crap in that series and shrinking in front of the Celtics crowd, in front of all those damn leprechauns, those mass holes, and Kyrie shriveling up. And there's no punishment for that. No decision based off that. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, but it's also, you got to remember that Nico already had a poor view of Luka Doncic and his work ethic and different things like that. So I saw this morning, Mark Stein had a post yesterday, I guess, where he was just kind of talking about where things stood and how things got to where they were. And it had gotten, this wasn't just like a, oh, it kind of flippantly happened talking over coffee. He said, whispers via league sources suggest that Dallas's decision makers, most notably general manager Nico Harrison, no longer wanted Planet Mavericks to orbit around Doncic and had grown determined to trade him by the summer at the latest. He wanted to get ahead of, quote, a tumultuous summer, referring to Luka's looming eligibility for a Supermax extension.
He wants the Chauncey Billups Pistons.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. You always criticize Adam Silver, and I heard Dan Patrick, my new best friend from the Super Bowl, saying this yesterday. Adam Silver is about the players. He knows that the NBA is more of a players league.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Harrison apparently did not get that memo that the NBA superstar is going to run things. He is going to have more power and control than your coach, maybe outside of Greg Popovich, who may have coached his last game, more than the general manager, more than anyone. It's the NBA, which you have worked in with some of the biggest stars in the history of the sport through Nike.
That's the thing. There's no excuse. He's repped all of these players that have wielded their power for years. No one should know better than him what that power can get you in this league.
He wants like the rookie Brady Belichick teams, where they all run out together holding hands.
Yeah.
He doesn't want Tom at the end. He wants Tom in the very, very beginning.
Makes sense. Nico's Gerard Mayo. That's what Nico is. Nico's Gerard Mayo totally in over his head.
Kyrie and Luka with the warm exchange beforehand and after. Here's Kyrie on going up against his hermano.
Awkward as Yeah, no, it was awkward, but at the same time, it was fun. You know, we got a chance to, you know, feel like we were in practice all over again going at each other. You know, that was a good reflection point. And then just, you know, seeing the crowd cheer for him and just get him going and see him make some of the tough shots that I've seen him make thousands of times. That's probably made it even more awkward. But, you know, it was fun. It was fun competing. A lot of high-level basketball players out there, a lot of high-level plays, you know, high IQ plays. It's what you want to be a part of as a competitor. And you could tell J.J. Redick was trying to prepare the guys emotionally, especially Luka, and I feel like he handled himself well. You know, it was a good show out in L.A. against you know, two good teams.
Kyrie talking like I described in the first segment, like high-end competitive basketball. He brought it with 35. P.J. Washington did not. 0-for-9 with 0 points. 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks. He filled it up. Poor man Karolinko-esque stat line. Very poor man, AK-47, but nothing for PJ. Didn't even notice him for most of the night. As Najee Marshall, Spencer Dinwiddie flashing, along with Dante Exum off the bench.
PJ Washington, by the way, the first Maverick to make sure that he sauntered over to Luka as time expired and greeted him.
Well, he congratulated him on his newborn.
Yeah, congratulated him on his newborn. And remember, that was that whole standing on business thing started with PJ Washington saying, like, I'm going to stand up for 77. Like, that's my job. And so, look, I think you watch the post-game handshake line where every single person basically went in a line to greet Luka, and it felt like sincere. It's really hard to sell this narrative that Nico wants to, just like he was toxic here, and he was just destroying the fabric of the organization.
He's out of shape, man. He got worked by Jaylen Brown.
Back to the Mavs at 7 here on DFW Sports Station. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell. Is there a fight for Myles Garrett inside the NFC East? And is Rob Gronkowski coming back to join Travis Kelce as two legendary tight ends wanting to play together at the same time all over again? We'll take you inside the combine and around the NFL on the Home of the Boys next. Heading out to the NFL Combine, as that sexy voice in that promo just said, we are your home of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. Let's take you inside the star and around the NFL, then back to Luka against the Mavericks. Pete Carroll commenting on his former protege, Brian Schottenheimer, and the phone conversation he had with Jerry Jones about it. Quote from Pete, Brian is ready. He's been waiting for this opportunity for a number of years. I just told Jerry all the positive stuff about him, the stuff we'd been through together, and the confidence I had in him. Tried to reassure him because it sounded like he was really in the lead position to get that job. I was trying to help Jerry feel good about it too because he was starting to get ready. I was glad I had a chance to help him. So there's Pete Carroll leaving out the possibility that he tried to backstab Brian Schottenheimer and get the Cowboys job himself before landing in Vegas.
I was going to say, saying I was glad to help him is a little bit of, That might be a
so that's improvement.
A more sunshiny description of it than what might have actually occurred. But then again, maybe after Jerry talked to Pete Carroll a little bit, he was like, "Ooh, yeah, we should hire Brian Schottenheimer, not this guy." So maybe that's how he helped him out. Maybe that's what he means.
All right, is there a battle for Myles Garrett inside the NFC East, and it would not involve your Dallas Cowboys? There's a report that the Philadelphia Eagles could try to leapfrog the Washington Commanders. Yesterday, the news came out. They're allowing Jonathan Allen to seek a trade. And Bobby was like, I wonder if that could be for Osa Odigizua. Well, maybe it could be for Myles Garrett. And it's Jeremy Fowler, who's got some credentials over there at ESPN, saying that Philadelphia, they may want to try to block this, and they may get more aggressive if it looks like the Commanders are zeroing in on the Aggie.
Man, that's interesting. Because, you know, Howie doesn't really kind of fit into any mold. He's like he's an analytics guy, but he'll sign a running back to a big deal. You know, analytics.
A couple of them.
You know, he's an aggressive GM, but he also, you know, he'll take a million shots in the draft and everything. And this is weird because it feels like it's an old school maneuver. Like an old school GM would try to block him going to another a foe in the division instead of overpaying and getting into a bidding war for somebody.
How much do you believe in what Washington did last year? And how much do you believe that looks like a team that's ready to compete with us for the next 8 to 10 years? And how valuable is it at that point to potentially get in the way of that?
Yeah, if you believe in Jaden, then you believe in their chances of competing.
The Eagles could potentially make an offer that the Browns could not refuse. The Browns GM was talking yesterday, and he's like, it doesn't matter what type of phone calls we've received, because we're not interested in moving Miles. So they're going to continue to say that. I'd be willing to put an awful lot on Myles Garrett moving. Cleveland has to take this stance, and it doesn't make any sense for the Browns to go ahead and hold on to him unless they're completely disrespected in terms of the value.
Yeah, see, this is the way that you create trade value. You not only have a generational talent, you also tell people, like, you want to get him from us, you're going to have to just blow us away because we are not getting rid of this player at all. That's not happening. Even Pat Riley faked like he wasn't going to get rid of Jimmy Butler. Nope, no circumstances, not doing that.
Yep.
And so that's the position you got to take. So savvy move from the Browns.
Brian Broaddus have a spot in the Cleveland front office because we have someone else saying that they see Travis Hunter as a wide receiver over a corner. Here's Brian Callahan.
Yeah, that's very realistic. I think he's a unique player, that there's not a whole lot of other players you could compare what he's done. There's not many guys that have played that many snaps on both sides of the ball. And you watch his tape and you see his ability to play both at a very high level. So, I think anybody that you talk to about him is going to say the same thing, that he's got the ability to play both. And that I think you're going to find out where he fits if you were to get him. But he's got a really unique ability to do a lot of different things.
Well, the part that's missing in that audio, there was a quote about him leaning more towards wideout.
Well, Andrew Berry, who has the number 2 pick in the draft with the Browns, he also sees him as a receiver.
Wait, Brian Callahan, is that Titans?
Yes. Yeah, he's okay. Corner, right?
Yeah, he's the Titans head coach. Andrew Berry had said, I'd say this, in terms of Travis Hunter, cornerback or receiver, the answer is yes. He can play both, and I think that's what makes him special. We would see him as a receiver primarily first. But I think part of, again, what makes him a bit of a unicorn is the fact that he can do both at a high level. So the fact that Cleveland, who right near the top of the draft, if Travis Hunter goes number 2 in the draft, that's Travis Hunter being picked as a receiver. I'm going to be really interested to see how Goodell announces his pick.
Which one do you think has more value, by the way, right now today? If I told you he was a 10 at wideout and a 10 at corner.
I mean, the market, the way they pay for it, they'll tell you it's receiver. Because, I mean, CD and all those guys, they're getting 35. The corner market's still like 22.
Is there just more good receivers?
Who are you more?
Give me the top 5 wideouts versus the top 5 corners, and you're going to have a much more loaded list of receiver names.
Corner's more volatile, I feel like year to year. Like, I feel like Jair Alexander can be the best corner in the league 1 year, and then he's getting roasted. Diggs is great 1 year, and then he's getting roasted.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it's matchups, like what's your schedule like.
Which hurts this team more when they're missing, Bland or Lamb?
Oh, for this team, Lamb.
And so, I mean, I think a lot of these teams, if you look at and say they've got a top... I think Garrett Wilson missing might hurt the Jets more in terms of their ability to win games than if Sauce Gardner was out. And Sauce Gardner is a better player than Garrett Wilson.
Okay. The Matt Stafford stuff is not dying loud, dying down. It's getting louder and louder and louder as apparently the Giants, the Steelers, the Browns, and the Raiders showing interest in Matthew Stafford. And Choppy, the Giants front office, mark it down every year. It's an annual tradition. The New York Giants front office continuing to make Choppy pleased.
Whenever you're feeling down about the Cowboys or about the Mavs sending Luka to the Lakers, it's always a great day to have the New York Giants in your division. Because Joe Shane is making it sound like they're going to maybe go hard after Matthew Stafford. Maybe they're going to go hard after him. And, you know, like,
he basically said, I'm willing to take big swings, and I'm talking about big swings for winning in 2025.
Yeah.
I sent that right to the meatballs, the New York Giant college friends, with a ha, 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 ha. And I warned of this a week or two ago. How do you as an owner tell your front office,
yeah,
this ain't a win-now situation? We don't go and get Matt Stafford. Or maybe the owner is just as desperate as the general manager, right, with all the Giant fans freaking out, and Brian Daboll.
Maybe they are. Maybe they are. But, like, this is the Giants. You know, Mel Kiper had the Giants pass on Shador, right, anyway, in his mock draft, getting Travis Hunter. But, like, for them to have this to be in play, Matthew Stafford in play, like, this is not taking a big swing. The memes yesterday, the GIFs of all these at-bats where guys are taking, you know, pitches right down the middle. And this is Joe Shane swinging at a quarterback, and he's just not even taking the bat off his shoulder. This is not taking a big swing. This is bunting a guy over to second base. If you get an old man at quarterback, I love it.
What's a big swing? Realistically,
drafted. If Shador is on the board, that's a big swing. If Cam Ward is on the board, it's a big swing. Trade up to one, that's a big swing.
And then more tie-ins to possibly Aaron Rodgers replacing Stafford in L.A.
Yeah,
Devontae.
Yeah, this was from the New York Daily News yesterday, and they were reporting that Aaron Rodgers has completely turned his sights towards Los Angeles is where I want to be, that he wants to go to the Rams, and that he would be the replacement for Matt Stafford. Not just that.
He lives in the Bill.
As soon as Devontae Adams gets cut, he'd be bringing Devontae Adams right there with him. So
Is Stafford's arm that bad? Like, is it that?
No, Stafford's arm was an issue like 2 years ago. He's recovered from it mostly. Like, it's just
guys missed on that. His arm was going
to
fall off.
I mean, to be fair, the Rams were treated like it was too.
Matt Stafford, his arm to me is, I'm taking that arm over Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, 100%.
Swapping out Aaron Rodgers for Matt Stafford, I have to do a lot of thinking to.
Sean McVay must be impossible to get along with.
Or, I mean, it just could be an issue of the Rams' philosophy of use you up and discard you, and that's what we're going to do. And if they look at Rodgers and say, you know what, he performed, like, I didn't think he was bad last year with the Jets. He was okay. Like, that was all it was. But that's the Jets. Like, does McVay get something else out of him, maybe, to where Aaron Rodgers can be passable and they replace Adams and... Or they use Adams and Rodgers to replace Stafford and Kupp without having to give up any capital, and then they get capital for those guys. I mean, it wouldn't be bad as a means of getting you over a little bit.
It sounds like Taylor Swift is not going away, according to Brett Veach, Chiefs GM.
How we left at the end of the season is that he was fired up. He has one more year under contract, and still think he has that fire and desire to play. And as far as I'm concerned, there is no deadline. I think we left it as he'd be back, and we're excited to get him back and get him going.
Okay. So it sounds like Travis Kelce will be back. No deadline, as was previously reported. Mid-March, let us know. And then my brother is already lighting me up, saying, you're just like these first fake shows. What a BS tease you gave about Rob Gronkowski wanting to play football again.
Yeah, maybe he does. Yeah, that's the rumor. But look.
That came from the fan in Denver.
Okay, Kayf, yeah. So here's the thing with Kelce. Like, Does he not seem like a guy who just... He's a family guy now, man. He got a dog. He got a dog with her. He's out. He's checked out.
I think there's a lot of NFL players that own dogs. Although Brandon Aubrey doesn't. We found that out. Yeah. Where your buddy thought he was watching walk his dog, and Brandon Aubrey's like, I don't own a dog.
Handicapped dog.
Man, I don't know. The guy in the first half of the Super Bowl... Now, nobody on the Chiefs wanted to play in the first half. I just thought that was a guy that, like, he wants to go to, like, Barcelona with Taylor Swift and just hang out.
What about Gronk? Is this ridiculous eye roll?
This is very ridiculous. I mean, the fact that, so the report came from Cecil Lammy, is his name, of footballguys.com. And he had said that, this came from tweet. He said, Rob Gronkowski wants to return to the NFL. He likes what he's seen from Denver Broncos quarterback Bo Nix. And, of course, he has a relationship with head coach Sean Payton from their time working together at Fox Sports. Ian Rappaport, of course, quote tweeted it and said, nope, nonsense. So Rappaport went and, you know, sunned him a little bit, little broed him, but
he's not coming back to not steal a ring. He's not going to go to Denver and, like, you know, have to work for one. He would go to I don't even know if he goes to Kansas City. I just don't see him. I don't think that I've never been. I've spent very limited time in the airport at Kansas City. It doesn't seem meatheady enough.
How quick does he have to? Like, I don't know. Does he have enough time? He looks really thin these days. Well, he does not look like he's ready to play.
He was one of the guys at the Super Bowl. I was like nudging Choppy, and I was like, this guy's a monster.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he was lean, though.
Yeah,
he's really, really lean, but he's a freaking...
He's big, yeah. But
Hoss.
What would you guess he's lost since his playing days? 30 pounds?
Yes.
He's definitely lighter.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you can put 30 pounds on. It doesn't take that long if you eat if you eat just crushed food.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. So that is catching you up with the Combine in Indianapolis. We are flying out there right after the show for the rest of the week. Thanks to Rhino Shield Ceramic Coating. Never paint your house again. And by Best Buy Windows and Siding, why last night made Choppy and Bobby even sicker watching the reality of Luka against DFW. Back to the revenge game, part one, after this.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.